Joining us now, Sergeant Betsy Smith is with us. Sergeant Betsy Smith, thanks for being with us, Sergeant.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning. Happy Monday.
Well, Sergeant, tell us what's on your mind right now. I know you've been working on some things as these weeks have gone by. When you jumped out of bed today, what is your top priority, Sergeant?
Well, my top priority is taking a look at what is happening to the American law enforcement officer already this year. You know, we're in the first part of February, and nearly 40 police officers in this country have already been shot. Three killed by gunfire. Police officers shot in the line of duty is up 113% today as it was at the same time last year. So the American law enforcement officer is under attack. We have been horrifically vilified and demonized to the point where cops are so frustrated and we can't get more people to come to this job. Cops are leaving. We're retiring. We're just leaving the profession altogether, and we can't get young people interested because of what continues to happen in the media, by activists, by politicians who continue to attack this noble profession.
You know, I'm 64, going to be 65 in a couple weeks. When I grew up in my era, I'm a baby boomer, police were revered. And you were taught that by your parents, right? And, of course, I was in New Jersey, just outside of New York City. We used to go to New York City, back in those days, you went there to go to Macy's or Gimbel's to go shopping. This was before malls, basically. You had JCPenney in New Jersey and Macy's and Gimbel's. I would go there. And, you know, we'd see the police walking around, or they'd be, you know, walking around town. And you were taught as a young person to revere them, that they were keeping you safe, and people had such confidence in them. And now it's just, and of course, you know, member people would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? Policeman, fireman, Indian chief, right? I mean, now that's just gone. And we're with Betsy Smith. She's spokesperson for the National Police Association. And so what you just said, how do we get new recruits? I mean, I remember there were times in New York City when I was there where, you know, people wanted to be cops and they get turned down because, you know, they had more applicants to go through the training than they had openings. Now it's the exact opposite, right? They can't find people. What happened?
Well, exactly. So really, you know, this started, and you and I are contemporaries. I started as a police officer in 1980, spent 29 years doing that. Now I'm a trainer and an analyst and an author. And here's the problem. This really started in 2014 under the Obama administration. In fact, really, it started with the Beer Summit. For people who don't remember that, go ahead and Google it. But Barack Obama, who was my senator in Illinois when I was a police officer, and he was very anti-cop back then, he became our president, and he immediately started what we now call the war on cops. So then you go to 2014 to the death of a young man named Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, who attacked and tried to disarm a police officer. And yet he became this bizarre national hero. And Black Lives Matter Incorporated, who really started with the death of Trayvon Martin, and that death had nothing to do with law enforcement, but Black Lives Matter Global Action Network saw the opportunity there, and I believe they were helped by the Obama administration, to start this war on cops. Then you fast forward to, of course, the death of George Floyd. And again, now it became so de rigueur, if you will, to attack the American law enforcement and talk about systemic racism in law enforcement. But then the left went one step further, and George Soros came in and started this prosecutor movement, these far left prosecutors. Here where I live in Pima County, Arizona, we have a George Soros Hotel prosecutor. Where I used to live in Cook County, Illinois, we have one. And of course, in LA and Manhattan and Portland, we can go all around the country. And what these prosecutors do or don't do is they don't prosecute the cases that police officers bring to them. So here you have cops physically and emotionally under attack, and then when they do good police work, bring good cases to these prosecutors, the prosecutors toss them out. So you now have this completely beleaguered American law enforcement officer. If what you do doesn't matter, why would you do it? So the what do we have to do? We've got to look at the entire criminal justice system in the United States and go back to making Lady Justice wear that blindfold, because she is not supposed to see what your gender is, your sexual orientation, the color of your skin, any of that. And then we need to go back to punishing people who are criminals. John, we have gotten rid of punishing people, and our justice system seems to do everything they can to support the criminal without giving much support to the crime victim.
John Fredericks Radio Network, Trucking the Truth Across America. We're with Betsy Smith, Sergeant Betsy Smith, 20 years in police since 1980. She's now the spokesperson for the National Police Association. Tell us about what happened in Memphis.
So, you know, young Tyree Nichols, you know, a young man who was pulled over on January 7th and ultimately had contact with multiple Memphis police officers. And by all accounts on the video and by his autopsy, we're told he was beaten to death by those police officers. Now, anybody who watched that video is horrified by what happened. But this is not police culture. This is criminal culture. And these police officers have rightfully been fired, and they have been charged with crimes. There's a sixth police officer that has been fired. But here's the thing. In Memphis, they have a police chief who's been there just a few years. She has a bit of a checkered past. CJ Davis is her name. She was fired but then reinstated from Atlanta PD, went to North Carolina, and now she's with Memphis. Oprah thinks she's really great, so that's supposed to, you know, make us all happy about her.
She's very woke, but she's incompetent. That's why. I mean, to get fired out of Atlanta twice, I mean, you got to be pretty incompetent. You know, but she says the right things in the press releases and in front of the cameras. Then she goes to North Carolina. That didn't work out. You know, then she ends up in Memphis. But the Tennessee Star, my partner, Mike Leahy, because we own a bunch of Star papers together, did probably the best writing on this of anybody in America following it. And there's rumors. This is alleged. These are rumors. You know, you can't. The cops in Memphis wouldn't confirm or deny. So they're just, let me just say that they're alleged rumors that they some of these guys were associated with a gang out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's one rumor. Another rumor is that one of the officers there, that this guy was, I guess, dating his ex and he didn't like it. So that's another rumor. They got text or something that haven't been released, but. Whatever it is, it stinks. And
I mean, John, this is not how American law enforcement officers are trained.
It looked like a targeted hit. I mean, that's from just a layman, and I'm a layman, right? I mean, I'm not an officer like you are with all the experience, but from a layman, it looked weird. I mean, the traffic stop, like, you know, when you get stopped by a cop and they make you get out of the car, I mean, that's never happened to me. I get speeding or, you know, you have a tail light out or your plate's expired. You know, you roll down the window. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You hand them the stuff. They don't drag you out of the vehicle. So none of that seemed right to the layman.
Well, and none of it was right. This was, and, you know, and have we had gang members in police departments before? 30 years ago, we did a cleanup of the Chicago Police Department and took out gangbangers. Here's what's happening now, and it goes back to what we were just talking about. We have a problem bringing police officers to this profession. So when CJ Davis got to Memphis PD, she was 500 officers short. And so what happened? Standards were lowered. That's happening around the country. But the situation with Memphis, first of all, this is a leadership issue that I don't see being addressed. You know, you just talked about that. Her, you know, she does have quite a checkered past. Now what we're seeing is the federal government is stepping in with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and they're going to launch a joint investigation, a probe, actually, is what they're calling it, to look at policies. Again, this has never happened before. So what is going on that there is now this cloak of protection around this chief and around her management team? John, no supervisors have been fired or suspended that we can see in this situation. This was an absolute lack of leadership. And when you look at what was happening with Tyre Nichols, you know, and you talk about how it just doesn't, it doesn't look like normal police procedure. There, these police officers, I believe, were very comfortable acting in that manner, in that, you know, they acting like thugs, acting like criminals. I don't think that this is the first time they've done it. And for an hour and a half while Tyre Nichols died, not a single supervisor or manager appears to show up. I think there's far more happening in this police department at the leadership level than there is on the street. And it needs to be investigated by more than just a probe by the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the cops office in D.C. More needs to happen.
Why do you think nobody in management showed up?
Well, A, I don't think they have them. You know, there is a lack of supervision in that department. And B, I it makes me wonder. And again, I was a street sergeant and I was also a specialty unit sergeant. For an hour and a half, no supervisor to show up. I believe they didn't want to see what was going on, or, you know, we would call that tacit approval, that they're just going to wait to see what happens and stay away from the area. That's an agency wide problem. Remember, we saw those police officers and heard them on camera not only doing all those horrific criminal acts to Mr. Nichols, but they also discussed how they were going to conceal this, how they were going to make it look in the report. They knew they were being recorded by poll cameras and their own body cameras, and yet they were very comfortable doing this. That is an agency-wide problem.
So they thought they'd have cover for it. Basically is what
yeah, that's my belief.
Your hypothesis. Okay. Wow. The whole thing, very odd. Let me ask you something else. You said Memphis was down, Sergeant Smith, by 500 officers.
In 2020.
What percentage of that? How many officers can there be in Memphis? 1,000?
They should have, I believe it was about 2,000 police officers is what they needed. You know, Memphis is an extremely high crime area, so you need more police officers than others. But again, this is happening around the country. NYPD is slated to be 2,000 police officers short this year. The Phoenix Police Department is at least 350 police officers short. Again, here where I live in Tucson, Arizona, the Tucson Police Department has the same number of police officers right now than it did in the 1970s when my husband was a police officer there. You know, and yet this is a million people in our metro area here. I mean, this is a crisis. Seattle Police Department, if you are an adult and you get sexually assaulted right now, it's very unlikely that a detective will be assigned to your case because right now they only have enough detectives in Seattle to investigate sex crimes against juveniles. That's horrific. And I could go on and on and on with city and county around this nation. We have a shortage of law enforcement officers again, and it goes back to this war on cops.
So then you lower like Memphis. So they have 2,000 officers are down 500, so 25% of their staff. They've only got 75% staff, so they have to lower standards, which is then what you get in some of the officers that were involved and charged with murder because the standards are down. But you have no choice because you're repelling people from entering, young people from entering the profession because of the way cops are being treated nationally and on a state and city by city basis. So if you're demonized, and you're watching this, and you're 20 years old, you just got out of college, you just got out of high school, and you know, maybe you thought about being a cop. You know, you say to yourself, do I really want that life and to be like spit on every day? And I'm not going to have the backing of my city. I'm not going to have the backing of my county. I'm not going to have the backing of my state or the federal government because of this war on police and this defund police. So why would you be attracted to that profession?
Well, that's the thing. You look at, for example, my native Chicago. There's a very hotly contested mayoral race there. And Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, you know, one of the highest crime cities in this nation, she just talked last week about how she is going to lower physical standards for police officers to come to the Chicago Police Department. That's not going to do any good. And what it's going to do is get even less qualified people onto that police department. So again, what do we do about this? This is, we can turn this thing around, John, but we need church leaders, political leaders, activists, teachers to get involved and start talking about, again, going back to when you and I were young people and talking about the nobility of this profession and encouraging people to come to this profession. But again, what do we have? We have politicians like, you know, the Squad, AOC and Ilhan Omar and her ilk. They continue to talk about not just defunding the police, but reimagining or eliminating police while they continue to use, a lot of times using campaign funds to provide their own personal security because they feel unsafe where they go in places like, you know, D.C. and New York and St. Louis and Minneapolis. But they don't care if their constituents are safe. People are going, because here's the thing, there's polling, lots of polling. Pew does a lot of polling, Rasmussen, Gallup does polling, and talks about the American law enforcement officer. The American law enforcement officer continues to be more popular and more trusted, even in these times, than many, many other professions, including, of course, politicians and the media. So most people care about law enforcement. Most people want more law enforcement, not less. But the narrative is in the mainstream media that cops are bad, and that's a problem.
Sergeant Betsy Smith, people want to follow you on social media. Where do they go?
They go to SGT Betsy Smith, Sergeant Betsy Smith on Twitter.
SGT Betsy Smith. Can't get easier than that. Betsy, thanks for all you do, man. Thanks for elaborating on that. Hopefully we can turn things around. We'll have you back. Betsy Smith, thank you.